Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
This is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air, once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm zooming in with Rosalie Brand, who's down in LA, and I'm in lovely Grass Valley, getting hot already. We're in a little heat wave up here. And I was just down in your part, neck of the woods, sort of, kind of, and it was pretty hot down. And it's down in Las Vegas, and it was almost triple digits. But
wow, I mean, like let's, okay, so you were in the southern portion
of the western United States. Yes. I wasn't actually in the LA.
LA is like 5-hour drive
from Las Vegas. I was on the other side of the mountain range the whole time. Yeah.
Pretty hot over there.
It was warm. It was definitely warm. So yeah, we were down there for my cousin passed away last week or week before last. He was in a single jet plane accident. He was flying back to the base in Ellis Air Force Base. He's a retired Air Force fighter pilot and working for a defense contractor. Was flying a Mirage single engine airplane coming in. Called in the tower. The tower said, he told him what was going on. The tower said eject. He said, I can't. All I see is a school and houses. And so he managed to find this postage size bit of dirt and dove his plane into the dirt and ejected last minute, but didn't make it. But you know, he died doing something he loved and died as a hero. But yeah, it was a pretty sad moment. At least two kids behind, one's special needs. And yeah, that was my weekend. But, you know, it was memorial on Memorial Day for someone who fought for our country. Didn't die active duty, but he did serve two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was my little trip down south and managed to make it a little fun. Stopped on the way back and stopped at Bishop and did some hiking. And
I saw the fish. I saw the fishing.
Yeah, it was kind of nice, kind of trying to get my head back, and it was an emotional time, so trying to, you know, straighten myself up to get back to work. So yeah.
Wow, that's light.
Heavy to way start to start the meeting, but or the show, but you know, hey, this is life, right? I mean, everybody's got their stuff going on. I know, you know, it seems to be something in the air. I know a lot of people that are struggling right now with a lot of family members getting sick, or them getting sick, and people passing away. And I'm not the only one that, you know, one of my coworkers lost his sister this week as well after being diagnosed with leukemia. So it's been an interesting couple weeks.
Well,
and I got Giardia too. That was fun.
I was wondering if we're going to lead into that. I was very excited to actually so the last time I saw your face was for this recording last week, I think. And I remember saying to you, like, as soon as we got off, I'm like, what's wrong with you? You don't look right. Yeah. Like, I was like, you know, and I don't usually say that, but I was like, no. What in the hell's wrong with you?
Why are you kind of pasty looking? Yeah.
You just don't look right.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a struggle. I went through for 2 weeks with not knowing what was going on and slept a couple days in between amongst those 2 weeks, and finally went to the doctor, and yeah, sure enough. But hey, I got to my goal weight, so that was a good thing, right? There's a positive out of there.
It's so sad when, like, there's a positive outcome of, like, having a parasite. Oh, look, I fit into my high school pants again.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, like, but hey, you know, the good news is
you gotta take it wherever you can get it. Right?
You got the antibiotics for said parasite, so he'll be moving on. So that's good. Good for you.
Yeah.
So you saw my weird moment. It was just yesterday. Okay, so I just felt like you always ask me what's going on with you, like nothing, but there was something. So yeah. I was up on a prefaces was saying that because I lived in the Eastern time zone, this is what I blame it on. I can never sleep past like 5-6 o'clock. Like my body is literally dialed into like Eastern time zone. So I'm up bright and early, and then I've got, you know, the dog, who's special needs as far as I'm concerned. And so he's got to be dealt with and all that. So up early, did the little business and sitting out on the balcony, drinking some coffee. And I have this weird habit where when I see a dog, well, I pay attention to dogs because I love dogs. But every time I see a dog, I'm always kind of zoning in. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting shape. Like, I don't know why. I think it's because my dog is such a long dog. He's looks like he's got the wolf body. He's got the coyote body. Right. He's just real kind of interesting.
He's not
build.
Far from the wolf, right?
Right. He looks like domesticated to whatever that means. And anywho, there I am. And I'm looking out on the street. And now, mind you, I live in a fairly, I mean, it's not like a crazy area of LA. I've been in much worse, but I mean, it's not it, like right now, if I didn't use my earbuds, you could hear the traffic.
You've got four lanes or six lanes out there?
I have four lanes. And then beyond that is the highway. So, I mean, there's a lot of traffic that moves through here. So anyway, 5 o'clock in the morning, cup of coffee in hand, look out. That's an odd shaped dog. That's a long dog. Look, he's so skinny in the middle. There's three of them. Oh, and it hits me. There's coyotes. Like, they're just walking. It was the most surreal. First off, my brain takes a minute to engage. You know that because you've known me for 15, 20.
Well, it's also 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So I mean, and I'm just like, oh, I'm looking at a dog. And then all of a sudden I'm like, and there's three.
Coffee hasn't hit in.
And they look the exact same. And then I'm like, oh, that's a funny color. Wait a minute. And they're just literally, it was the most surreal Walking Dead apocalyptic moment where there's just three coyotes walking down a totally quiet street. There wasn't a car in sight. It was the weirdest thing. And so, of course, you know how I do. I grabbed my phone camera. I've got the oldest phone on the planet that isn't a flip phone. And I went to take a picture. And like, I think by the time I posted it, I just circle what it was. I'd explain what it looks like a little gray, furry
grainy
fox.
Dot.
Yeah, it looked like a furry fox. But yeah, so I had a little pack of coyotes, like literally just walking down the street in Los Angeles.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, you read about this stuff all the time. Like, I know, you know, I still have a lot of family down in San Francisco, and coyotes are roaming the streets of the Mission District. And there was even a mountain lion in downtown San Francisco that worked its way down from San Mateo. So, yeah, I mean, they're infiltrating. And I saw something on National Geographic about Bengal tigers in the cities of like Bangladesh or something like that. Like you saw like homes, and then there was a picture of a tiger from a natural, you know, a wildlife camera kind of thing. It's like, wow. I mean, coyotes are one thing. They're not going to really hurt you. They'll eat your pets, but they're not going to like attack.
Nothing big.
They might nip at you if you corner them. Right. I know there was one up in San Mateo that got somebody, but didn't kill him, just bit him. But yeah, tiger on the other hand, they'll take you out, man.
So, crazy. I mean, I worked at a zoo, and I can tell you that a tiger, you don't want anywhere. Never. Like, that's
there was a tiger in Texas, right? Somebody had their tiger that was roaming the streets. Yeah. Their pet tiger.
I mean, you trust me when I tell you, do not go near a tiger. They are not friendly kitty. They are not going to play with you.
They're wild animals. Yep.
They're going to get you out of their way any means possible. So yeah. So, I mean, it's one thing to see coyotes from your balcony, and look and go, oh, look how pretty they are. I don't want to run into the same pack while I'm up hiking in Griffith Park, which is where I'm sure they're headed. Right. But yeah, so, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. So you can live in the big city and still get a little bit of wildlife.
You still have wildlife. It's crazy. Yeah. It is crazy.
It's kind of cool though. Okay. Well, that's, how do we segue into what we're going to talk about today?
I don't know how we're going to segue. Well, we can segue with the heat. So one thing that we've noticed, and I know a lot of companies that notice this as well, some of them who only do water heaters, that water heaters tend to go out when the temperature takes either a spike or a dip. So we're heading into summer and we've got these 90-degree weather. So we see a spike in water heater calls. We'll see the same spike in October, November when we start to see the cold. So it got me thinking about, you know, what are some ways that you can make it so that your water heater can last longer? And there's some simple steps that you can do to make your water heater last longer. And one of the one of the easiest things to do is flush the tank, flush the debris that's on the bottom of the tank. And we've got a video that's up on our website that I did flushing my own water heater. Unfortunately, mine was pretty clean because I've got a water softener, but kind of get the idea. But basically, you just hook up a hose to the bottom of the water heater. There's a little drain down there, if you will. It looks like a hose bib, like a garden valve. You hook your hose up to it, run it outside to a space where it's not going to, hot water won't do any damage. So like, you don't want to put it on your lawn. You don't want to put it on your flower beds because water, the first bit of water is going to be, you know, 120 degrees and it can kill plants. So put it at a place where it's not going to do any damage, and then simply turn it on and let it run for about 8 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes. And that's going to, you don't turn the water off. You don't do anything. The incoming water that refills the water heater is on through a dip tube. The cold water return comes all the way down to the bottom of the water heater. So it stirs up all the sediment and then it flushes it right out through that valve. So if you let it run for 5 or 10 minutes, and you can kind of look and, you know, if you get a bucket and pour the stuff into the bucket, put the hose in the bucket and see the kind of the chunks and stuff that you'll get, that'll make your water heater last considerably longer because it takes a lot of the stress off the water heater. Because what happens is, especially if you're on well water, is we have hard water up here. And when water heats up, the molecules get all excited and they drop out the calcium and magnesium, which is basically just liquid rock. So it drops out of solution and reforms into a rock and lays on the bottom of the water heater and insulates the burners from the water. So not only are you paying more money to heat, but now you're actually putting a little more stress in the water heater because it gets a little hotter in those little layers.
I was going to say, so is your water heater actually running hotter, but you're just not?
You won't see a temperature difference, but it'll get hotter just in that first couple inches because you got kind of an insulated blanket. So it kind of collects and it's not dissipating through the water like it should. And you'll notice some people I've seen instances where you get this popping sound when the water heater comes back right on. And that's a sign that you've got a thick layer of sediment on the bottom. Cause what happens is you'll get a layer of about 3 to 6 inches thick of calcium and magnesium. And as the water heater comes on, it's getting so hot in between those layers that it's literally boiling the water under pressure. So it's got to be really hot to do that. And it makes these popping sounds like popping popcorn. It's like pop, 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 pop. And that's literally because you've got so much sediment on the bottom of your water heater that it's keeping the water away from the heat. And as it heats up, it steams and boils and it makes this popping sound. So you definitely want to flush it. So flushing is one of the key things. Another simple thing you can do is just look around your water heater and make sure there's nothing around it. As a safety thing, you'd never want to put anything that's flammable around your water heater. I've seen water heaters cause house fires. They're safer now, but there's still that possibility. So even up on the top, like I've gone into people's homes and I've seen oil stored up on the top of their water heater.
No, come on.
Or paint. I've seen all kinds of wacky stuff. So definitely a top of water heater because that little draft diverter that's on the top where the flue gases go through sometimes has a little rollout and it's hot and it will literally ignite things. So yeah, you definitely don't want to store anything around it. The other thing you want to make sure is that you have plenty of air for your water heater. I know it sounds weird, but when natural gas burns or propane burns, you need a high, when anything burns, you need a high volume of air because you need oxygen for things to burn properly, to burn efficiently. And the rule of thumb that I learned was for every cubic feet of fuel that's burnt, we need 14 cubic feet of air. So you need a substantial amount of air in going into the system or going into that area for your water heater to burn. So if it's in a closet or something, you got to make sure there's some way for the air to make up. You have to have makeup air. So if you look around there, there's some equations. If I remember correctly, it's 1 square inch per BTU. So if you've got a 40,000 for every 1,000 BTU. So if you got a 40,000 BTU water heater, which would be a 40 gallon, you need 40 square inches high and low of free open space for air to flow in. And that's to the outside, not to like another room. So you check for that. Fresh air to make up air is critical for these things to work efficiently. So, and you were going to ask me a question. I'm just going to throw it out there for you.
I'm going to ask you, I was going to ask you before you got into this little diatribe.
I know I started going on because I know you can't stop me, but
it's just a monologue show. It's fine.
Yeah.
So if I were to ask you, how long should I expect my water heater to last? Let's say that I had to, all things being even, let's say that I just bought a new one, right? So with today's standards and kind of like, maybe they've been improved, how long should I expect that if I take care of it and flush it, should I expect it to kind of be around?
8 to 10 years for a gas water heater, 10 to 15 for electric. It's pretty much what to expect. Eight years we see pretty standard.
That's not even a full childhood. That's like from like, if I had a baby today, my kid's only going to be in like fifth grade before that sucker goes out. Man.
They don't last very long. And I liked your comment about if they've improved. The one thing they've improved with is they're a little bit more efficient than they used to be.
Otherwise, that's about the same blueprint.
They've made them more efficient. And they've also made it so they don't have flame rollout any longer. So it doesn't ignite the paint stuff.
We can agree that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. But it does add some complexity to the system. So if anything, they're more problematic than they were in the past, and they don't tend to last as long as they used to. So, they are, what's the word, designed obsolescence? Is that the correct terminology?
I feel like that's a made up word. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, but the obsolescence is designed just like into your iPhone and other things, right? It's designed to be obsolete in a certain amount of time.
Oh.
A water heater is designed to be obsolete within 8 to 10 years and just designed to die. There are some other things you can do to make it last longer. You can theoretically have a water heater last for as long as you need it to. But it's pretty time consuming. So most plumbers don't even offer this service, and we don't really offer it any longer, just because it's so expensive. Just put a new water heater in. But if you're handy, it's not too expensive. And you can actually change out the anode rod in the water heater. In a water heater, there's a sacrificial element, just like on the prop of a boat, on the rudder of a boat. You've got stored water and dissimilar metals. So there's a small electrical current that's being built up inside the water heater, which forms electrolysis, which eats at the metals. So you don't want it to eat the tank, the steel tank. So what you want it to do is eat something softer. So you put in aluminum or magnesium anode rod. What you can do is most water heaters, although they're making it so it's harder to do because they don't want you to do this any longer. Some of them they bury now, you can't even find them, but some of them they put in the nipple on the inlet side or the outlet side. And some of them, there'll just be a little nut on the top that's accessible, but you can replace that anode rod and have a water heater that lasts forever. The anode rod is designed to last about 3 to 4 years. The warranty on most water heaters is 6. There's a reason for that. Because they know the anode rod is going to protect the water heater long enough that it's going to last, the tank's going to last for 6. After 6 years, the anode rod's gone, and it's just a matter of time before the tank breaks loose and has a leak. But if you change the anode rod religiously every 3 to 4 years, you can have a water heater last forever. But most people don't do that. But you can do that. And I've known some people that have done that, and they'll swear by it because it lasts a long time, and it's only a couple $100 for the anode rod. So
I feel like that must have been something my dad knew how to do, because I don't remember my dad ever, like, I don't remember us getting a new water heater. Like, I feel like my dad, like, or who knows, maybe he had someone who worked for him go and do the grunt work. I don't know, but
right.
I feel like,
right.
I
you just don't know. And it is one of those things, like, yeah, you can, I've known people that I've gone to people's homes are like, I've never replaced a water heater. And they're like in their 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s. You just luck out, you know, you move into a house and then you stay there for 7 years and you don't have to replace the water heater. The person that moves in, they're the one that has to replace it. And then you just keep jumping along and eventually one of them is going to go out, but
eventually your ticket's up. Now I always love to put you on the spot and ask you what things cost, cause you typically never have any idea. It's like asking a celebrity how much milk costs. I don't know.
Right.
What would you say? So is 40 to 60 gallon, is that kind of standard that you see in most homes? What's the standard size?
Water heaters are 40 to 50 gallons.
Okay.
Ironically, a 30 gallon water heater is more expensive than a 40, just simply because of the fact that they sell more 40s. So they the margins are a little slimmer on the 40 than they are on the 30.
What would I expect to pay for a decent 40-gallon water heater?
I think they're running, the water heaters themselves are surprisingly more expensive than most people think, because a lot of times, there was a time when I first started in this industry, you could get a water heater for about $150. Now with all the tech that's involved, they're about $600 to $700 for a decent water heater, for a 40 or 50 gallon water heater, and then up from there. I mean, you can spend a couple grand on some condensing water heaters. You can spend, we've got a couple that have gone in that are closer to $6,000.
Okay. What if I didn't want to, what if I'm handy and I was going to do the water heater replacement myself? I've been asked this question before and I've given people bad advice. If I'm a homeowner and I want to replace my water heater, am I technically supposed to get a permit for that?
So in the state of California, anything other than drain cleaning, you're supposed to get a permit. So changing a faucet, you're supposed to get a permit. Changing a water heater, you're supposed to get a permit. We live in Nevada County. There's not a lot of inspectors. So, you know, dare I say they look the other way.
Nope, you didn't officially say that. Allegedly,
I didn't say anything.
You haven't
like that.
Had any issues with this.
We haven't had any issues with that. But now that I say that, I probably will get some issues with it. But you know, it's one of those things. That's really That's a. Should I even say anything about more about it? I don't know. Call your county. Call the county.
So that would be a county by county thing. Kind of basically, right? Okay. So, but let's say that I have
technically anything other than drain cleaning. So even replacing a faucet, you're supposed to get
okay. So let's say that I did.
No one does. But.
Okay. So let's say that I did my paperwork. As if I were handy, I could replace, maybe not me per se, but as a human, if I were handy, I could do the water heater replacement. Or is that something that you recommend that people leave to the pros?
I'm going to say you can do it as a handy person with the caveat. You can also kill somebody. So it is a gas burning appliance. Anytime you have a gas burning appliance, you have the potential for carbon monoxide. If you don't know what you're doing, you have the potential of asphyxiating whoever's in that home with carbon monoxide and killing them. So it's one of those things where I highly recommend that you get a professional to do it. If you're not somebody that actually has done multiples of them before, there are some ways you can go around to make sure that it was actually, you installed it correctly, checking the draft on the draft diverter, making sure the air is actually going up and not into the living space, making sure that you actually have a flue that's attached to it. I've seen some wacky stuff where, people have installed water heaters in the basement and didn't even hook up a chimney to it, didn't even hook up a flue to it. And literally like, hey, do you guys have headaches? Oh yeah, all the time. Do you feel a little queasy sometimes? Oh, every once in a while. Yeah. Wow. You're literally being asphyxiated by carbon monoxide. And a reputable company is not going to install a water heater without hooking up the flue. A reputable company is not going to install a water heater without making sure that flue is actually drafting. A reputable company is not going to install that water heater without checking to make sure that the gas isn't leaking once they're done. So, water leaks, obvious, but those other things, the gas and the flue gases, those are some nebulous things that people don't always check because, a water leak, I'm going to fix it. That's obvious. But those other ones, you don't necessarily see it. You might smell it. And I know, I've worked with people that can't smell gas. So they just don't have the ability to smell that. So, and I've been to people's homes where they can't smell it. And, you get almost knocked over by the amount of gas that's in the house. So yes, you can, but it's, I would recommend that you leave it up to the professionals unless you really know what you're doing. High level stuff. So on that, if you do need your water heater replaced, if you do need your water heater serviced or looked at, you can give us a call at 530-230-9092. That number again, 530-230-9092. We're available for plumbing 24/7. Always available for you guys there. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at easysabt.com on the web, and you can find us on Facebook at ABT Plumbing. And with that, that is our show. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.